Well, welcome everybody to the Women's Wednesday Night Bible Study. It's nice to see you all join us. Tonight we have Megan with us up there in Vermont, the mother of a birthday girl today who is 4. Hello, Megan.
Hello.
And Ann and Karen out in Grace Ranch in Texas. Good evening, ladies.
Hi there, everybody.
Hello, everyone.
And Robin is in Maryland.
And Robin is in Maryland, yes. Tonight we're going to look at really a beautiful psalm, Psalm 34. One little thing is this was a psalm that David wrote early on in his fleeing from Saul. And David's a beautiful testimony because you really see a habit of exactly what he records here of seeking the Lord and trusting the Lord. And he gives voice to it in this psalm. So, Karen, if you'd like to, did anybody want to say anything before we jump in there?
Nope.
Okay. I have a lot of muted friends. Psalm 34, verse 1, Karen.
I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad.
Okay, stop right there for a minute. When I read this psalm, I will bless the Lord at all times. I mean, this is a man who turns unto the Lord in all things at all times. The Lord is who he looks to. And in this at all times, though right now this is, in a sense, a difficult time in David's life, you don't hear him say that. It's not a prayer of psalm of distress. It's a psalm of praise to a God who is there and who he looks unto in all things. And I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. This was, this is how we should live, really, is where we look unto the Lord. And as we see his testimony as we go down, we see the benefits of keeping our hearts and minds stayed upon him who cares for us, who loves us, who has an answer, who will deliver us, and who is blessed if we will trust him and do so. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. David and all of us, let me back up. If we look to the Lord in all things, then he gets all the praise in all things. I will make my boast in the Lord, he says. But of course, he also praises him at all times. He looks to him at all times. He looks unto God for his answer, for his way, for his deliverance. And then because God answers and shines a light and delivers, he makes his boast in the Lord. He gives honor and glory and testimony. Go ahead.
I just wanted to say I looked up boast because I was curious on what that meant.
Yep.
Some of the meanings are give glory, celebrate, and rave.
Yeah.
And so that's what David was doing, was giving glory all to the Lord and celebrating him.
Amen. You know, and you can say that you give the glory to God. I mean, we can say those words, but when we actually look unto the Lord, we then do boast in him. it because it's the truth in our lives. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. What a wonderful truth that there is the God above all gods, the only true God, who's there for you and who's there for me in all situations. The humble, the ones who see a need, man, what a glorious thing to minister and give testimony to. Anne or Megan?
No, you can go ahead.
You know, one of the things on that part also is it's David is boasting in the Lord. You know, that is where he is joyful, is in the Lord. And those, the humble is those who are of like faith, really. They hear of that and are glad. It's, you know, it reminds me of the verse where it talks about rejoice with those who rejoice. And this is a kind of an edification one of another. When you step forward and praise the Lord and serve him and it's evidently put forth for people, it helps others too, and they can be strengthened in light doing the same thing.
Amen.
You know, one thing that hit me, though, I will bless the Lord at all times. We've said many, many times, and we've heard it in a lot of sermons over the years, that our focus should be on Jesus, and he should be first before everything else. And if that is the case, then blessing the Lord at all times isn't a hard thing to do. If our focus is on him, then we will be blessing him at all times.
Yeah.
And we will be praising him at all times. Yeah. So that's the key, is where is your focus? Is it on Jesus? Is it on everything else around you?
Yeah, being about his business. And in your mind all the time.
Yeah. And we're going to see him kind of talk about that as he goes down. But yes, this can't be true if you don't live your life as Anne just spoke it. And it can't be true. You can want it to be true. You can seek it to be true, but it's really the fruit of doing what Anne just said, keeping your focus on the Lord, your heart and mind stayed upon him, knowing he's there for you in all things. He's beautiful for situation. And looking to him for all answers. And kind of in follow-up to what Megan said is verse 3 there. If you want to read that one, Karen.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together.
Yeah. So it's really what you said there, Megan. You know, these are, he's calling those of like faith to rejoice in the mighty hope they have in God. And in so doing, God is magnified. And his people are blessed, lifted up. Their hope in all is increased. Verse 4.
I sought the Lord, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears.
And I know this is one you'll want to comment on, but you see right here where David, where you see this testimony of seeking the Lord. He knew the Lord had the answer. He knew the Lord was there. He sought the Lord. He gives testimony to the fact that the Lord heard him. And all of the fears David had, whether they were fears of things going on outside, or sometimes we can have fears about our own selves. But because he went to the right place, he was delivered of them all. Anne?
Okay, I know with myself, I was overcome by fear before I came to the Lord. In a lot of different areas, I was always afraid. And one night I just got angry and I actually yelled and rebuked that fear and told it to get away from me. I didn't need it anymore. And I just had a peace and a calmness come over me. And sometimes you have to get mad to get rid of that stuff. But I found that over the years, little fears had come back into my life and I hadn't even realized it. And the Lord highlighted this verse to me one night. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. And I realized how fearful I had become again. And so I sought him and he did deliver me from those fears. But it's something you need to be on guard because they can sneak back in. You don't even realize it. But if you seek him, he'll deliver you from them.
Yeah. Truth is, we do find ourselves back into things or in places, and we didn't even know we were there. But, you know, as you say, at that point, there he is again if we'll seek him. And there he is again, our deliverer. There he is again, our hope. You know, all of those things, which is a wonderful thing.
But if you don't seek him and you don't put your mind on him, then it won't happen. Those fears will just overcome you.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you know, the thing is how can you receive something of God if... I don't know how to put it, but when you turn your face towards him, and it's going to be this next verse, there is hope again that is available for you to receive. If your eyes are on your problems, be it yourself or the things around you, you're overtaken by them. You don't even see any other options. But when you remember that there's a God who's there for you, whose promises are true if you'll but believe them, and if you'll then turn to him and, as you said, Anne, seek him. He's there to do this. This is his desire. His desire is to set his people free. And our hope and our knowledge and our freedom can grow because of that if we will. When we find our eyes in the wrong place, we can turn and put them rightly. And that's what verse 5 says. Go ahead, Karen.
They looked unto him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed.
Yeah. You know, when we look to the Lord, no matter what somebody thinks or what somebody's hoping or what even we thought the moment before, we're lightened and we're not ashamed. God is faithful, and that faithfulness starts with being evident in us and acknowledged by us. But there's no shame in putting your trust in the Lord. You guys want to say anything on that one?
Nope.
Mute's a difficult thing to work with sometimes, right? Verse 6.
This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles.
You know, when I read this one, I thought to myself, you know, right there is David's testimony. This poor man cried. The Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. Now David, as I said, had many more troubles that he was going to face, because this takes place not long after Jonathan sent the arrow to say, yeah, you need to flee, my dad's after you, meaning Saul. So this was early in David's having to keep away from Saul for his own life's sake. And yet he already had this testimony that this poor man, you know, he doesn't set himself up as any, he doesn't say this great man, he says this poor man, this needy man, cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles.
And this is, you'll see all this throughout the Psalms and the record of David. He was a humble man. He never thought too highly of himself. He was always humbled before the Lord. And that's where we need to be. We need to be humble before the Lord. We need to be humble, period.
And it says in verse 2 that the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. If you're not humble, how are you going to hear that?
Yeah. Yeah. The thing about David, too, which I know is spoken by many also, David was humble, but in that place he served God, and his service to God was to stand up as king and be the king of Israel, and a godly king of Israel for Israel's sake. And, you know, that can be a hard crossing to go from being humble to actually in that humility standing and serving God, which is service to others, taking that place in the body that he's called us to. He's made us clean. He's redeemed us. He's done the work. And we need to stand and go forth in that work. It's a humble place to stand. But it is the needful place to stand, and it's based on the blood of the Lamb that gave us, that put us in that place, and now we gotta walk it. And David is a testimony of that, among many others in the Bible, but he's given to us in a very large manner where we see a lot of David. We see the truth of his words here. Verse 7.
The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him, and delivereth them.
So here, you know, we know those who are his are in him. They're in that secret place of the Most High that Psalm 91 speaks of. The heavenly hosts are with them. I love the story that Davy gave in Psalm 23 about, you know, goodness and mercy following him. You know, like two big angels. Don't mess with him, because the Lord is there, and you don't want to be found fighting against him. But here, David gives testimony that on all sides he's protected. And so are all that fear him protected. And that fear there is knowing that he is God, and recognizing the need to serve him, working out that salvation with fear and trembling, recognizing it is not a light thing, and having a fear by which we are moved to serve, to do, to believe, and not rest in all the other things that are contrary to his word. Did Did any of you want to add anything there?
Tink has a question in the chat.
Yes, it says, I have had a question that has been working on me. You know how he always was respectful to Saul. Well, I know a preacher that I don't like. Is that me being judgmental and wrong to do?
The thing about David, and I will appreciate your guys' thoughts on this too, is Saul was the anointed king of Israel. David was the anointed king of Israel. But David very clearly understood that you do not touch God's anointed. And Saul was anointed. And it was not David's place to destroy Saul. It was God's place. And David didn't take that place. Now, as you watch David go through, you see at the end that he knows Saul's gonna, you know, he sees the testimony of Saul. He knows the end of Saul. But he didn't start out looking for that or anything. He actually always was kind to Saul and always sought to, gain Saul, so to speak. And the thing is, when you ask about a preacher who you don't like, I mean, gosh, if the guy's not speaking the word of God, you shouldn't like what he's saying. I mean, he's wrong, but there's a thing about judging that where we cross over and judge the person worthy of damnation. That is not our job. It appears somebody upstairs is getting a phone call. To stand in the truth and not accept a lie, that's a whole different thing. And Karen and Megan?
Can I say something?
Yes.
One of the things, I missed a part of what you were saying because I got off the call. So if I say something you said, I apologize. One of the things about David that you see as you look through his life is he didn't take judgment into his own hands. He didn't take revenge into his own hands. He stood back and left that to the Lord. You see it with his son over and over, at least one of them, maybe more. You see it with Joab, who took things into his own hands. You see it with Saul. The one thing, you know, I'm not sure that your Tink's question is exactly necessarily the same, because David knew that Saul was the anointed of the Lord. He knew that Saul, the Lord blessed Saul and made him king and put his anointing on him. And one thing that's not, I'm not sure about in your thing is whether or not the preacher who you don't like, whether that is the testimony of that person or not. So looking at David, he knew that about Saul. And so he just, knowing Saul was after him, he stayed out of his way. But he did not, even though he had the opportunity, kill him, which, you know, somebody else might have done because David was already, had already been anointed by the Lord as king. So he wasn't ruling as king. But that's the one thing that puts your question kind of in a different thing, is whether or not this preacher has been anointed of the Lord. And you know what? If you're not sure, firstly, check him out in the word. And secondly, allow the person grace and whatnot.
I think he should be allowed grace, but she has talked to me about this guy, and he's a Baptist preacher who thinks everybody's going to heaven, and he preaches a lot of fleshly stuff and the feel-good stuff. So he's not on with the Word of God, but it is not her job to judge or our job to judge him either. It is to just allow the Lord to judge him because he's already got this testimony that he's walking around with of the flesh.
Yeah, we judge things, or we should judge things according to the word.
Mm-hmm.
And if someone is not preaching the word, we are judging that. But we have to be careful not to bring judgment on a person and condemn them. That's not our job. We can judge what he says, but we can't judge him.
Yeah.
And let's face it, there's people out there we like and some we don't like. I mean, that's just going to happen. And I mean, I don't find in the word where it says we have to like everybody, but we are to love. And that's a decision to love them no matter what. You don't always like what they say or do, but you have to love them. But you judge the word. What's his words coming out of his mouth? But don't put condemnation on him and judgment on him.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing also is to, you know, when you see him and you know that what he says is lies, you know, pray for an opportunity perhaps to have an answer for him or a question that would make him actually go back to the word and look up, you know, to find out if what he's saying is actually true.
Or if you hear him say something and you ask him, where is that in the word?
Sure.
Can you show me that in the Bible?
Yep.
You know, we're going to kind of get into it here a little bit, and I'm going to jump ahead. For one reason, David knew when David was anointed king of Israel, the flip side of that was that Saul had been rejected. Now, when we see David as we go through this psalm talking about fearing God, that the way David came to be anointed and then into a kingdom was probably something very foundational for him, because we know, if you've read the word, I'm not saying David knew this, that God would have established Saul's kingdom, but Saul never would serve the Lord. David, by contrast, was afraid not to. He was afraid not to. And so he had that testimony of Saul having been displaced because Saul wouldn't repent of his sin. And David didn't want to be that way. And one of the things I think when you see a man that says things like, you know, everybody's saved or something, where there is no evidence, there is no fear of God in that. There's no place for fear in that.
Amen.
Verse 8.
Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him.
Amen. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Check him out. Try him out. I know that as it has been told to me and is the truth, we serve a God that's big enough. We serve a God that is able. He's able to show us the way. He's able every day to guide us through. If he wasn't able, oh my goodness, what would make us think we'd ever have any hope? But we serve a God that's big enough. Oh, taste and see just how good this God is. Trust in him. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. How can there be anything but blessing in trusting God and letting him have his way? Doesn't make sense. And then we're going to get into the fear of the Lord somewhat here.
O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him.
Isn't that weird to say that there's no want to them that fear God? But you cannot serve God. You cannot keep your heart and mind stayed on him. You cannot go after that which he has for you and wants. And when I say has for you, you can't go after standing up and being a part of his body without a fear. You can't do it. There's 50 million excuses and reasons why how we are or how we spend our days or what we think is okay. It's justifiable. It's understandable. And truth is, it is understandable. I get how we spend our days. I spend mine too, but we have to recognize that God is holy, that he has a work he's doing on this earth. Magnify the Lord with me. I will make my boast in the Lord. We cannot do this if we have not tasted and seen that he is good, if we have not trusted him and learned to trust him in everything and for everything, even the wisdom to give answer, which comes oftentimes through counsel. O fear the Lord, ye his saints. David's speaking this to a people who confess him. Christ, not David, God. Fear him, fear the Lord, O ye saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. What a place to stand. What a place to trust. What a place to come to truly believe and be immovable on. And it goes for more than just things that we need in the natural. To be able to say like David, I called upon him and he answered. He delivered me from all my troubles. Blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord. That means you come to him, and that means you obey him. Karen, verse 10.
The young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing.
I mean, lions are predators and they, you know, they have plenty of prey, I guess. And young lions are energetic and full of vim, vigor, and all it takes to get what they need and want. And yet they suffer lack. Contrary wise, they that seek the Lord, and this goes back to what you were answering, saying, Anne, about you have to seek him. I sought the Lord and he heard me. They that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. God is an answer of prayer. God is available. Karen, on this one, because verse 11, I'm just going to read it. It says, come ye children, hearken unto me, and I will teach you the fear of the Lord. So he's calling those who will to listen to him, and he's going to teach them the fear of the Lord. We know the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And then these following verses is he's teaching. So if you'd like to read down 12, 13, and 14.
What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it.
Yeah. So right here are examples. What man is he that desireth life and loveth many days? Well, that's probably all of us. We desire life and a long life, right? That he may see good. Here's the keys. Keep your tongue from evil. It's pretty plain. Don't speak evil. Don't speak evil about people. Don't speak lies. Don't speak actually falsehood, right? Evil is manifested in many things. One that I know is very strongly put recently in the Galatians Bible study was the idea that there's any law that we have to keep by which we are saved. We're saved by the blood of the Lamb, by the mercy and grace of God. To lay on another soul anything but that would be to speak evil. Thy lips from speaking guile. You know, that's like saying one thing, but you don't really mean it. You know? And it's like a two-faced thing. You say what somebody wants to hear. You say what is going to make somebody like you or whatever. You don't speak guile. Speak the truth. You're, up front. Depart from evil. Once again, in Proverbs, it says, by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. We really aren't motivated to depart from evil without a fear of the Lord, to know that if we want to be His, if we want to be His children, if we want to learn of Him and be found in Him, then when He shows us something, we got to do it. When He shows us something about ourselves, we gotta repent of it. Depart from evil and do good. So in its place, do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Now this peace is not that I don't believe, and you guys can double check me or whatever, this isn't that cessation of war with God. This is, you see it in the lives of, really, when you look at Abraham, he never went trying to be contentious among the places he walked. He would go into a land, sometimes he'd be kicked out. He would dig a well and then have to go dig another well because it'd be stolen. There were places, though, where he would go into a land, and because the people perceived that God was with him, he was asked to stay. But Abraham didn't get hung up about stuff. He was a peaceful man. Do you guys have anything to add on that?
I don't.
Not from here, no.
It says to pursue that, go after it. So Karen, if you'd pick up there on 15.
The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears are open unto their cry.
Okay. Right there is an absolute. The eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and the righteous are those who trust Him and what He did, His word. They believe Him. They depend on Him. They look to Him. He's there for them. And He hears their cries. We're needy. We're needy of God in a myriad of ways. We're needy of Him just to guide us. but we're needy of him to deliver us. We're needy of him to forgive us. We're needy of him to strengthen us. He hears. Those who trust him, those who believe him, his word, he hears. His eyes are upon him. He watches over us. He's there. It's that Abba Father. He loves his children. Those who have accepted that reconciliation that he wrought on the cross. In contrast, verse 16.
The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth.
The God of the Creator God who created all of this is against those who do evil, who will not turn and repent and humble themselves to him. And when it says here to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth, every time I read this, I think of Abraham, because Abraham, other than Jesus, is, I think, probably the most known name to this day upon the earth. King David would be another known one, but Abraham, man, the Mideast clamors to claim Abraham as their father. I don't know what you guys have to say on that, but boy, isn't there a remembrance to this day of Abraham and the fact that God was with him.
That's true.
Look at reading about different men in the Bible and that had done evil. You may have seen by reading what they did, but you never see them mentioned again. And when you talk to different people, whether Jewish or whatever, who definitely know the Old Testament, no one remembers their names. They remember Abraham, they remember David, they remember Ezekiel, Isaiah, Daniel. You know, they remember those names. But they don't remember the ones that did evil in the sight of the Lord. They're not, that's not something that is even brought to mind.
Yeah. Amen. Moses to be another name that is widely known. These are people that magnified the Lord, who feared the Lord. So, Karen, if you'd pick up on 17.
The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles.
Here again you see, the heart of God towards his children. And his children are those who are the righteous, and they're righteous by faith. They turn to God. They cry unto him. He hears. He delivers. He delivers them out of all their troubles. Isn't that the heart of a father? And if our earthly fathers were like that, as the Bible says, if our earthly fathers who were evil gave good gifts unto their children, how much more our heavenly Father? He's a father. That word is not incorrectly used.
Look at the word righteous. Basically, that means right standing with God. Yeah. And the only way we can have that today is having accepted Jesus as our Lord and Savior, being washed clean by his blood, and then we receive the righteousness of God. But and that's the only way you can be in right standing. That's the only way you can even consider being righteous. It's not us. It's not how wonderful we are. It's how we stand before the Lord.
Yeah. Amen. And in that place, because I think, and maybe one of you could double check me, the one of the definitions is just. But it is in that place where he becomes our Lord, that then we, taking on his character and his ways and learning of them, those are just ways. We minister his justice because we ourselves are the recipients of it, and also because we cry unto him and he guides us, and he doesn't guide us in unjust ways. He guides us in just ways. And as we walk it out humbly, through the knowledge of that reconciliation, which you just spoke of, Anne, we minister it. I do think that word also, one of the things, and it's kind of interesting, is just, but I'm in agreement with you. It is right standing, through that blood, that is sufficient to have accomplished that. If you'd read the next two verses, Karen.
The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as be a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all.
Okay. He's near. That's what that word nigh means. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart. This is that place of utter need and actually despair outside of the Lord. Comes in for many reasons. And a contrite heart, I'm not really sure that word contrite, but this is a place where you recognize your utter need and you call upon the Lord, who
contrite
is merciful.
Means,
go ahead.
Contrite is crushed, literally powder, or figuratively contrite, destruction.
Yeah.
To crumble, destroyed, humble, oppressed, smite, break in pieces, beat to pieces, break in pieces, bruised.
Yeah. It's really the recognition of the truth. A broken heart, and saveth such as be of a contrite spirit.
Robin?
Yes.
I've been reading a Smith Wigglesworth book, and one of the things that I read recently that he said was, a man is in a great place when he has no one to turn to but God. And that reminds me of this verse.
Yeah. Yeah. Doesn't feel like a great place, right? Necessarily. But, you know, you see here where Dave has recognized it is a great place. You know.
Looking just even at this chapter, you see what a righteous person looks like. They're humble, verse 2. They're not ashamed. They're poor. That doesn't necessarily mean poor in money, but we covered that. They fear him. They trust in him. They fear him again. They seek the Lord. You know? And on it goes, and all those are attributes of what a righteous person looks like. And you see they're all about the Lord. And that's what makes them righteous.
Yeah.
In right
standing. They know their need of the Lord in everything.
Yes.
They know their need of him for redemption. They know their need of him for everything. And they're thankful that there's a God that's there for them in such a need. And Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers him out of them all. Can you believe that? All the afflictions, that the Lord delivers the righteous out of them all. He's given us this book with such great testimonies of that very truth. And it'll be, and it is the truth for the righteous, those who will stand in it. And as you just said, walk this out. Verse 20 is actually prophetic, and it speaks of Jesus on the cross.
He keepeth all his bones, not one of them is broken.
Yeah. And we know that Jesus gave up the ghost before they came where they normally break the bones of people hanging on a cross to quicken their death. But with Jesus, he was already dead. If you'd like to finish reading there, Karen.
Evil shall slay the wicked, and they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate.
So I actually want to jump to 22, because in a way this is kind of a summary and the key. The Lord redeemeth, and that redeeming, of course, is what he did on the cross. He paid the price. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants. That's that word, bond slave. He who's given up his will for the will of his master. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. These are absolutes. They're not some for some and not for all. This is the truth that David writes in this psalm. And we see its truth and the end of his conversation and this truth having been manifest. By contrast, evil shall slay the wicked. And they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. So the Lord's servants won't be desolate. None of them will be. The evil, all of them will be. That's the end of that one, so I'm sure you guys have something to add.
Amen.
Yeah. I don't have anything else to say, but amen.
Ms. Smegan?
I think I've added in stuff as we've gone. I don't have anything else at the end here.
Well, thank you all for your words, and thank you all for joining us. May the Lord, may we seek the Lord while he may be found, and learn to hear and do that which he has shared with us. So good night, everybody.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.